What drives someone to leave everything behind and work on a plantation for a dollar a day? Guy Kawasaki's paternal grandparents faced this choice in early 1900s Japan. Serve in the military or immigrate to Hawaii as contract laborers. They chose the plantations. His father, Duke, started working at 14 and eventually became a state senator for 20 years without a college degree, creating Hawaii's Office of the Ombudsman to help ordinary people. His mother, Lucy, under 5 feet tall but fierce, taught him to always leave places better than he found them. Growing up in working-class Kalihi Valley, Kawasaki wasn't wealthy, but his parents made sacrifices that changed his trajectory. When sixth-grade teacher Trudy Akau convinced them to send him to Aiolani School, a private institution costing $1,250 yearly on a $20,000 income, they said yes. Without that intervention, there would be no Stanford, no Apple, no career in Silicon Valley. Sometimes one person's belief in you rewrites your entire story. Not all motivation comes from noble places. Kawasaki's ambition started with his father's Cadillacs and watching parents arrive at Stanford in exotic cars like Dr. Nobuyuki Kawada's metallic blue Ferrari 275 GTB. That Ferrari expanded his sense of what was possible. Even being robbed twice in high school motivated him. He never wanted to ride a public bus again. But the most profound lesson came from Condoleezza Rice, who grew up in Birmingham during racial segregation. She taught him never to consider himself a victim. Growing up where Bull Connor used fire hoses and police dogs, Rice explained that victimhood means surrendering control of your fate. When you believe you're a victim, you act like one. If Rice from Birmingham and Kawasaki from Kalihi Valley could succeed, anyone can, but not while clinging to victimhood. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is refuse to see yourself as powerless. In 1983, Kawasaki joined Apple with no tech background, just a psychology degree, an MBA, and jewelry sales experience. Jobs was skeptical, telling Mike Boych, "You can hire Guy, but you're betting your job on him." One day in 1984, Jobs brought an unintroduced visitor to Kawasaki's cubicle and asked his opinion on Nowhere. Kawasaki bluntly called their products mediocre and strategically irrelevant. Jobs then introduced the visitor, Archie McGill, Nowhere's CEO, saying, "See, that's what I told you." Working for Jobs was unpleasant and scary, but it pushed everyone to produce their finest work. The lesson? Tell the truth. It demonstrates both competence and character. During his second Apple stint, Kawasaki created Evangelist, an email list broadcasting positive Apple news to 40,000 subscribers. While Jobs' return and the colorful iMac drove Apple's rebound, preserving the passionate Mac community mattered too. They kept buying Macs and developing software when others abandoned ship. True evangelism requires honesty and a great product. After dropping out of law school, Kawasaki entered UCLA's MBA program and met Lynn Nakamura, who offered him a job counting diamonds at Nova Stylings. This led to a full-time position with CEO Marty Gruber, who taught him how to sell, perhaps the most valuable skill he's ever learned. The jewelry business was brutal. Buyers would weigh your product, calculate the gold value, and offer 10% over scrap value payable in 120 days. This taught him that life is sales and earning trust matters more than slick pitches. He also learned that innovation often happens accidentally, like when the chef at Honolulu Kitchen dropped a manapua into hot oil and created a delicious fried version. Most entrepreneurs don't plan their company's evolution linearly. The second follower concept proved vital at Apple in 1984. Pete Marwick became that essential reference account, the only large company besides Apple using Macs. Success isn't always about having many customers. Sometimes it's about having the right one. When Steve Case's Quantum Computer Services lost their Apple contract in 1989, Kawasaki offered consulting help for $2,000 monthly plus stock options. Though he worked briefly and never received the options, Kawasaki later insisted he receive them anyway, options that became extremely valuable. Similarly, iStock Photo founders voluntarily paid him 1.5% of their $50 million acquisition after informal advice, triple typical advisor compensation. Formal contracts with dishonorable people are worth less than informal agreements with honorable ones. In 2008, Richard Branson dropped to his knees and polished Kawasaki's shoes to convince him to fly Virgin instead of United. If a billionaire knight can humble himself for business, humility is clearly powerful. During the 2016 election, after German friends drew parallels between Trump and Hitler's rise, Kawasaki turned his social platforms into political feeds. He lost followers, but gained more. Even if it had cost everything, he would have done it. That's what he'll tell his grandchildren. Sometimes the most important decision is choosing what you'll stand for when it costs you something. Sports became Kawasaki's passion from seventh grade onward. Though not naturally athletic, he compensated with determination. At 48, he took up hockey after his sons discovered it, despite never skating. He became obsessed, playing almost daily. At 61, he tried paddleboarding, driven by his Jesus complex, the desire to walk on water. When his daughter Nohemi became passionate about surfing, he joined her. After months of practice and a custom surfboard from legendary shaper Bob Pearson, he was surfing twice daily by summer 2017, sometimes with all four kids, moments he'll never forget. After an eye injury forced him to wear glasses during hockey, he experienced an unprecedented scoring streak, only to return to normal performance. The wisdom? Don't get cocky when things go well or negative when they go poorly. Life balances out. Just keep working to raise your average. It's never too late to learn new skills, and acquiring them makes you more interesting while connecting you with people beyond your usual circles. Kawasaki met his wife Beth at Apple in 1983. They have four children, two biological sons, and two adopted from Guatemala. Adoption brought unexpected joy, watching daughter Nohemi play hockey and surf, then adopting her brother Nathan to keep siblings together. Parenting taught crucial lessons. When son Noah failed his driving test twice, they studied the DMV route and practiced it exactly. Noah scored perfectly on attempt three. There's always a way to prepare. Arrogance, laziness, or defeatism just prevent it. He learned empathy through son Nate's dyslexia. At a school simulation, Kawasaki couldn't complete any exercise and cried afterward, finally understanding his son's daily struggle. His core principles: acquire valuable skills, embrace lifelong learning, recognize success requires grit, smile and default to yes, understand life isn't zero sum, pay it forward, question everything skeptically but not negatively, never lie, let people repay kindness to honor them. Your life isn't a dress rehearsal. The music is playing now. Stop waiting for permission or letting fear write your story. When your grandchildren ask what you stood for, what will you tell them?